Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the NBA.
Hey, Al, you ready? Let's do it.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Oh, scary, isn't it?
Hold on, what the hell was that? That
was my streamer thing. Happy New Year, everyone.
Jesus Christ,
I just seen your fist go up against your mouth there. I didn't know what was going on.
I still don't know what's going on. Oh my God, hello everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast, our first of 2023. We all said, Happy New Year. I guess quickly thought we'd start out. This is going to be an NBA pod, but we probably should very briefly talk about Damar Hamlin and the NFL and I mean, surprisingly, the way they orchestrated it pretty well, at least for me.
I think they did. I didn't see the incident live. I was outside. I did have the TV on, and then I had my phone on me, and all of a sudden, just a zillion notifications started coming up on there. It's like, what in the hell is going on? You know, come back inside, had a look, and that was a scary situation as I've seen. You know, sort of on a live broadcast of somebody just dropping on the field. That was pretty scary.
Yeah, well, I was off the grid because I was trying not to spoil the result being my Bengals, and then got to watch the game. Mark, what's happening? Why is this only 6 minutes? And then saw
that's right. Happened. Bloody and a nothing tackle. Just, you know, you see those, you know, 100
chest
times a game.
Chest. You can see it chest to chest, but it was a nothing tackle, but it's definitely chest to chest.
Yeah, you see them all the time, and then, you know, it's a, yeah, and then it starts to get serious, and, you know, all of a sudden there's, you know, CPR being performed on the field, and you're like, oh shit, like this is real serious, like this is not good. And you know, we sort of had a few chat threads going, and I don't think, you know, me myself, I wasn't under any illusions that this game was going to continue.
I thought it was, because I was trying to think when that Pittsburgh dude got paralyzed, did they cut him off and keep going?
Ooh.
Was that like the last play of the game?
I thought that was cool. That was towards the end of the game.
Yeah, I thought that was towards the end of the game, and they just sort of, the result was already done, yeah, for what you're talking about. I guess for anyone that doesn't know, but I'm assuming you do, yeah. So it's an innocuous tackle. Damar's come in to try to tackle T. Higgins. Officially end up, well, then got up, and then, like Miles just said, unfortunately, collapsed straight to the ground. Officially, it's been, I guess, reported officially that it was a cardiac arrest. So, yeah. Obviously conspiracy theories, blah, 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 everything will come out. Who gives a crap? I guess then, like what we said, the NFL called this, well, talked to both teams, both coaches. I guarantee, because I was watching the whole game. I seen both coaches handing a phone to each other in the tunnels. Guarantee it was Goodell or someone at least.
It would have been the league officers, yeah.
Yeah. So, and they both come to obviously like a smart decision. For both teams, but obviously the Bills side, you know, realistically, let's be real. If we see that on a basketball court, as the example, there's no way you're going to keep playing the game. There is absolutely no way.
No, that's right. You could see how distraught both sides players were. Like it was just, the talk, you know, what during the live broadcast that, you know, that once they'd sort of got him off the field and everything, that there was going to be some sort of warm up period and they were going to start again. But I think that sort of was shut down rather quickly, you know, in real time, which was good. And I think this game won't get played at all. I'd be surprised if it does. I've heard, you know, as of today, that there was the possibility of these two teams playing next week and then maybe delaying the playoffs, but you can't. I don't think you can do that.
The only way it's going to work is if they delay the playoffs a week, because otherwise they're at an unfair rest disadvantage for those two teams.
The only way to me it can happen is if both teams win their division or both. See, and that's the thing.
There's still implications with the AFC Championship number
that's
one
right.
seed.
It just can't happen. This game has to go down as an abandonment. And the league's going to have to deal with the ramifications of that record wise and how it affects the playoffs. So I don't think anybody's really going to give a shit about that. It's just it is what it is.
That's the good thing. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I totally agree. I can't see them playing it regardless. I know what you're saying, buddy. The Bengals, at least for me, already have their division sewn up. The Bills have their division sewn up. We're only really talking about that number one seed, which is really probably between these two teams, really, and the Chiefs, if you want to throw them in the mix. So I agree. I think they'll just say abandoned. I think it'll just go on the record if looking like it'll end up being sort of the Bills, unfortunately, or the Bengals. I like you said, I don't think any other team's going to object. I mean, a lot of the teams are already coming out now, like Mahomes and everything, and saying really doesn't make a difference of what happens. It's all about DeMar Hamlin. So,
yeah. That's right. I think even if there were, you know, major playoff implications for it, at this point in time, like that's a discussion for the off season or, you know, a lot further down the track, you know, in the here and the now, it's just not important. Yeah. And, you know, the player's health is what's most important, and that's what they have to go with. And there's no other decision that the league can do or come up with that's going to make everybody happy. And if there's going to be, you know, fans out there or whatever that's going to crack up about it, then they need to look themselves in the mirror. So,
At the end of the day, I don't think it's the fans. It's going to, if anyone's going to object, and I don't think they will, it's going to be the team high up. And I don't think they will, but they're
the only
ones.
You simply can't. If you have those feelings, then you can't let them
be a good look. You're not going to get a lot of support.
Right.
But realistically, they'll get that week or whatever. They're the ones. But you're right. They're not going to. I don't think they're really going to care. So,
last already still in ICU in critical condition. That hasn't changed.
No, that's the last I've read. I don't think he's breathing on his own yet, but the last report that I read to say that his breathing has, well, maybe he is, like his breathing has improved. So maybe he is breathing on his own.
Well, they've put him to sleep. So he's basically, so they've already raised, like that GoFundMe has already raised $15 million in like 24 hours.
Just
a lot of players putting in money, like your Brady's, your Russell Wilson's and all that as well. So it's going to be, anyway. We'll switch to NBA talk. I thought what we decided, I decided to look at doing was, I don't know, we, I, was to just talk
yes,
about,
Captain.
Like, because obviously it's been a while between drinks of us talking, I guess, you know, about NBA in terms of like pods. So I kind of thought a way to do it was look at three storylines or questions or anything between three storylines each, either what's already happened or what's going to happen in 2023. So I'm just looking at the first person on the top of my screen. I'll just start with Matt. Go ahead. Do you want to use your first topic?
All right. Well, I'm going to start off.
Use your first pick.
Going to start off on a serious note. Thank you. Number one overall pick. Pressure's on. I better not get a flop. No Anthony Bennett's, please.
Yeah. No Anthony Bennett's or Greg Oden's.
I'm going to go with. I'm heavily monitoring the Miles Bridges situation. Heard about your rat Lakers and Detroit looking at him. if he becomes available. I know he's still a restricted free agent with Charlotte, so I'll be interested in to see what happens there. And I believe even if he does get on a roster, the league can then suspend him for whatever length they determine is appropriate. But my question to you guys is, do you think the length that is appropriate is a lifetime ban?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Miles. Why do you say absolutely?
Yeah.
talent,
unfortunately, the talent of the man is going to come out, and there's going to be some team out there that will want him on a roster, and I'm not sure if Adam Silver in the league is going to pull the trigger on a lifetime ban. But yeah, that's such a sticky situation for the league. I don't see it.
My theory on why that should happen is because the majority of, or maybe not the majority, but a predominant portion of basketball fans are probably 17 or under. Fair point, you'd say.
I think the new age sort of fan is it could I'd even say 25.
I'd say 15 to 25. Yeah.
So what kind of message is that sending to kids? You beat the absolute snot out of a woman and you get a rap on the knuckles for 20 games, then you're good.
No, that's right. And they say, oh, you know, I'm an extreme. You know. And see, that's the thing where the league is in a bit of a situation like it is. If it's a genuine superstar, then that they will never give a lifetime ban. This guy is a fringe starter, a good player. But like you said, that the league has to send a message that this sort of behavior, and it goes without saying, this sort of behavior is just it's unacceptable.
Well, I agree personally that he should have a lifetime ban. I don't know if that's going to happen. That's all, because
I don't think so.
It could be different, but it there is no precedent. Obviously, I mean, all the bans that have happened have been long, lengthy bans without lifetime bans. I mean, the one that obviously comes to my head pretty glaringly is the Malice in the Palace, yeah, obviously. I mean, but that this is a completely different situation. I mean, you know, this is, yeah, this court. Is on TV. This is completely, yeah, you're right. This is off the court.
The first situation, I don't even go to this league. The first situation that pops into my head is Ray Rice.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's the difference between the NFL and the NBA. But that's the difference between the NFL and the NBA.
That's right.
The NFL have a lot of these things like this, and we're not going to go down that rabbit hole, but a lot of these things like this, and a lot of players don't essentially get lifetime bans. The NBA, do a lot of things differently, and in a good way. And I'm not disparaging the two, that they do what they like, but the NBA have more of a zero tolerance. We know that. We've seen that compared to the NFL. So I think it's in play. I just don't know if it's going to happen. That's the thing. So, I mean, we've also got to wait for a team to technically
make an offer.
Sign it.
Yeah.
That's right. Like, we don't even know, if he's, look at NRL. We don't even know if his contract's still technically valid. Technically, is it? I don't know. The Hornets haven't said anything.
I could only assume so. I'm not sure if he's been suspended without pay. I'm not sure, but I thought on the cards there, I thought Michael Jordan, you know, the owner of the Hornets, I thought that there's a real possibility that he could even be brought back in at Charlotte, which, you know, that's not the best. You know, look for MJ there. I think he just needs to totally cut ties and just say, you know what, that's someone else's problem now. Someone else's problem. I know that they're in the toilet at the moment, and they've got, you know, one of the worst records in the league right now. And that's,
standpoint, why would you want him? You're increasing your chances of getting Wembanyama. So,
yep, cut ties. Well, you can just wipe your hands and say, right, someone else's problem now. Bye.
And I don't see, I don't see, I as much as you hate the Lakers show, when they're a very family orientated team, they're not going to sign someone that too. Like him. Yeah, well, you're just going to all. Oh, my daughter's gone. You can all suck something. She's gone now. No, but you both know they're a very family-oriented team. They're a very family-oriented team. There's no way they would sign someone like him. You know, both know that. I don't think any team will personally, but they're not
this year. But there might be a bit of a we'll just wait until the dust settles, then we'll sneaky sign him next year. All in the past.
The Bucks will.
What a great basketball player he is.
Yeah.
Bucks will. Yeah, the Bucks look like a great team. Different.
They don't have the cap space for a minimum salary.
They've already got Grayson Allen, so you might as well.
Let the Grayson Allen slander begin.
Well, he got undercut last night, so I think the players are starting to gang up on him.
That's a whole different topic, but yeah, I
love the idea. I'll put it this way with him, but in this situation, it doesn't.
I'll put it this way with him. This is completely a side topic. Grayson Allen, I love his aggression. I do love his aggression. It can really, motivate a team and piss off the other team. He just takes it just that little bit too far, that little bit when he doesn't need to. That's all it is. I love his aggression, but that's a whole side topic. Miles, have you got the next one or your first one?
Okay, so I'll start off with a lesser known. I'll leave the big boys for a bit later, but the Miami Heat. look,
Miami chill, you mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like that, boy. Yeah, that they've. Look, they've started to string together a decent run as of late, but boy, they've been, I think they've been massive underachievers already this year. They're starting to, like I said, put a decent run together. The startling stat that came to me about a week and a half ago was Duncan Robinson. And how on track he was to make total threes this year, and the amount of minutes he was playing and the amount of threes he was hitting, he was on track to make 78 threes this year.
But he made his dollars, so he doesn't care.
Yeah, Giannis is going to make more than 78 threes this year. So it come down to that it was going to equate to $200,000 per three made for his contract.
So, they pretty much, compared to last year to this year, they pretty much ran back the team. Like, it was pretty much the same.
No, that's right.
Correct?
And that's Pat Riley, and that is heavily salary cap restricted. So they really had no choice but to run this back again.
So to me, what is different between last year and this year? There's a few players you mentioned, Duncan Robinson, but I just think, unfortunately, Kyle Lowry has just completely fallen off a cliff. He is aged, he's aged heavily this year, 5 years, within this year. He's
heavily,
unfortunately, slower. He doesn't really get back on defense, and he can pull up the numbers, but it's very few and far between. So what he used to do with Toronto, obviously. So and he's 30. He's 30 mil a year. So then
It also doesn't help that Jimmy's become Kawhi and it plays one out of three games.
He's missing some games, but oh man, like
I've got him in fantasy. He's out.
His age as well. But he's also he could see the way this season's going too, and he could be just sort of resting sort of for next season. Like those last couple of seasons at Butler, he played a lot of games and a lot of minutes.
Even last year throughout the playoffs,
he played a lot of minutes.
He was a marathon man.
I'm not denying he's probably doing that, but it's not helping their record.
Well, so. On that then, so well, like, what do they do? What do they do, Mo? Like, seriously, what do they do?
build around
there.
They're
so cash strapped.
Do they trade?
They're so with their balls to the bandsaw with the salary cap. And it's either you've got to put a rocket, so to speak, up Bam Adebayo's ass to try and get him to be your star player, because it's just the last two seasons that everybody thinks that his star is just shooting into the atmosphere, and it's plateaued. Like I like his game. Yeah. He's a good passer for a big man. He's not really a threat from outside the three as of yet. I do like his game, but
I think a lot of that is deferring to Jimmy though.
He goes missing a lot, and yeah, it's Jimmy's more of a mid-range player and a drive to the cup, get fouled or that doesn't help Bam Adebayo at all.
You got two routes. You can either go heavy on the veterans, or you can build around Bam and make a youth movement.
I think so, but who's going to take on Jimmy's contract? If you're going to do that, there's two assets you can possibly trade there. Kyle Lowry, who the hell's going to want that cap hit at the moment for the production that you're getting? And the same with Jimmy Butler.
Butler, I think, would get something.
And you talked about the Lakers before. We would take Butler with open arms, realistically, and would
fit in
well. You'd
take anybody with open arms right now.
Well, of course, but someone
take Grayson Allen.
No, we will not take Grayson Allen. This is not the Lakers.
What have you got, Genie? Well, you got Genie Buss on speed dial. Have you? You got Rob Pelinka on speed dial.
I'm not taking Grace. I'm just saying. Jimmy Butler. He could help any playoff team, Jimmy Butler. I know it's a big contract, but he also can help them win a chip. We know that.
Yeah.
Right situation, but he's just, man, from what I hear, he's a real hard ass, and I think it's got to be the right team. If he goes into a young team, I think, you know, the youth of today, like we saw when he was at Minnesota, don't like to hear the truth.
I think he's the same sort of mold of hard ass as CP3, though. He's the right kind of asshole you need on your team to.
No,
be
that's
successful.
Right. But in the right situation, I think the CP3 in Phoenix, I think those guys there have got a lot of those younger guys have got their head screwed on right. You know, Booker's he's beginning to be a veteran at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the big young guy, Ayton, you know, has had a bit of a stoush with the club at the moment and the coaching staff and things like that. And it's not that's probably not the best situation. And who knows how much fuel CP3 is pouring on that fire. But yeah,
I haven't heard anything about that since the off season.
No,
there's been a couple, lingering. Not so much. I have seen a couple of courtside arguments between Ayton and the coach.
Yeah.
But nothing untoward. But then they've also obviously got new ownership come in, so that could change a lot of things as well.
Winning makes all that stuff go away.
Well,
they're not really winning and as dominant as what they were last year.
We're going off topic. It was the Heat, so let's go back to you.
Well, no, the Heat. This is the Heat I was going to say. Just to finish on it. You know where Butler could go? Because I think they need to trade. Not just him. I think they need to trade. And because if they can't run us back again next season, everyone's just aging. They need to sort of pull the trigger on what they're going to do. I think, and I'm only saying this because what you said, Miles, about having an actual leader or an adult in the room. As crazy as it sounds, I could see Butler going to the Timberwolves. If they had an adult in, I know he's been there. If they had an adult in that room with
that was with Thibodeau as the coach too.
If they had an adult in that team, because Gobert should be an adult and isn't an adult. Well, look at the way he's been arguing with refs and everything like that. Cat's still not an adult. Anthony Edwards
Cat's
is
not
fine.
On the court.
Anthony Edwards is fine. He's young. But if they had an adult like Butler, that if you had those four, that team, you know, somehow get rid of that D'Angelo Russell Did you say you gave, because I think they're pretty even, D'Angelo Russell's contract and a couple of firsts for Butler. You know, that's sort of a...
They don't have any firsts to get.
The Timberwolves? No, you're right. Actually, they've got three first corn. Yeah, that is true. But
it would have to be players. Yeah, they ain't got no more firsts at the moment. They're all Utahs.
They just need an adult. That's all I'm sort of getting at. They really do. My first topic, and I think I've talked to both of you about this, but my first topic is why can't Nikola Jokic go back to back to back for MVP? Why can't him?
I was thinking about making this one of mine. All the metrics point to yes, but it's just going to be the bloody narrative. It's just you can't get three.
Okay.
No,
that's my problem.
And it's voted, and the MVP is voted on by, you know, the media and stuff like that too. And are they getting, you know, too much Jokic? Yeah. The thing is too, like, you know, he's on the West Coast, so there's only, you know, unless you're staying up, in America to actually watch West Coast games, you don't normally see Denver's games on the road on the East Coast on the major networks like TNT or ESPN or anything like that. So if you want to watch Jokic, it's going to be, you know, a 10:30 start for the East Coast in America, and people just aren't watching that. So I don't see why not. He's clearly the most valuable player to their team this year.
And they got the best record.
With a very close second to Luka Doncic.
I've got a few stats to sort of back it up. Well, firstly, who literally is the only or the last person that got the three-time, not three-times MVP, but back-to-back-to-back.
Three consecutive.
He's the only person. And we're talking 80s.
Was it Larry Bird?
Larry?
It was Larry Bird, 84, 85, 86. He was the last person, right? So there is some precedent, just to throw that out there.
Oh, that's not much.
I know, but I'm sick of hearing the narrative just because, you know, he's already got two, he shouldn't get a third. No. These are his stats currently now. This is Jokic's stats. His points are 25.6, which is slightly down on last year. His rebounds are 10.8 per game, which is the same as last year. His assists are 9.5 assists per game.
That'd be up.
That is way up. That is two assists. Seven last year, eight the year before. That's two whole assists a game. More. He is playing the same. He's playing actually just less minutes, to be honest. His field goal percentage is a shocking 61% currently.
Oh, that'll...
Those last 2 years, he won it. And that, like, I think someone said it just before. That last 2 years, he won it. He didn't bring the side to the number one position where they currently sit right now. If they finish number one, he has to get it.
The top six... Top six or seven in the West is such a mad jumble at the moment that you could lose two in a row and go from first to fourth,
correct,
like that.
But if they finish top two,
and it's, you know, there's one or two games difference.
You're right. If that is the case, he should be getting it. There shouldn't be a question. When he's off the court, the plus minus differences are insane. It's a huge drop. It's like minus 10 or 20, like that plus minus. It's huge.
You know, the only thing that will save any other player that wants to get the MVP this year over Jokic, there's one person that's going to save the rest of the league from that, and that's Jamal Murray.
He'll start firing.
If he starts to fire and the numbers don't dip as much when Jokic is off the floor, and, you know, Jamal Murray will have to be that go-to guy while he's off the floor, then that will sink the case of a three-peat.
In my opinion, I think Doncic is going to get the early LeBron MVP. He's basically without him, there are top five odds for number one pick.
I understand that. I completely understand that. But he's also creeping towards that James Harden. What is it? The efficiency rating, the usage rate. Sorry, that yeah. You know he's 34% currently, which is a James Harden, Russell Westbrook. Oh, I get what you're saying. When like you take him out of that side, they're gone. But you put him in that side, he doesn't have the number one position. Like, as and I like, I'm not Luka will get it. With you know, he's 23. He's going to get an MVP. Like, it's just going to happen. I just think with the ways that side currently built is right now, that he can firstly get the number one and then make noise in the finals compared to Denver. I honestly believe Denver are probably one little move away from winning the West. I truly believe that. Really, I think
someone who's gone on unheralded in that team who's having an all-star campaign is Aaron Gordon.
Correct. Yeah. Because why? Because he gets
because
so much more
set
space
up by Jokic.
And
yeah.
Correct.
Everybody
it's
is.
Just, that's what I mean. He makes everybody on that team better. Green. Is it Green that's on their team?
Jermichael Green.
Jeff Green?
Jeff Green.
Yeah. Look how good he's playing. And he was on a podcast I listened to recently. And he said, I've never had so much freedom and so much floor space than I've had
right now. That's right. Like, that's what he creates.
He said he can go up and do a dunk like he did because he's got time. Like
time and confidence.
I mean, I'm also saying this because I got him at a juicy $9.50. So that's the whole difference as well for Nikola Jokic. But that's
you're letting your hip pocket
personal bias
sort of influence your decision.
I had stats to back it up. I also consulted in you before I put the bet on, so
that's true. Like you said, that's some serious juicy odds, but it's like you said, you know, off the top, is it going to be, you know, is it there going to be some sort of, I don't know, everybody's over it, do you know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
you know, you can even
only got two.
Well, you're right. So the four to me that jumped in my head are obviously Jokic, Doncic, if they can get a better record, Giannis, if they finish in the one seed, and this team really needs to pick up, but the way they start as strong is Jason Tatum.
What about a dark horse Durant?
Yeah.
Too much support with Kyrie?
I mean, that...
12 games on the trot.
I don't know if anyone has the Nets in the topic. I know, you know, Sharo said we're one of the Nets free, or someone said a Nets free pod, but man, they
and you brought it up.
I know, but I mean,
as much as I don't like him, he's
having an excellent campaign.
He's got an MVP bald spot at the moment. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, there's a few people that have MVP bald spot. Look at John Cena. That's a big MVP.
Oh, wow. I see those pictures this week. It's like, what's happened there?
He must be proud because they've all got money to, like, they can cover all this up, but they all must be proud enough. But anyway, what's your next topic, mate?
Haven't they heard of advanced hair?
Well, they must be just proud.
I'm going to go with the Sacramento one, boys, so we can all chime in on that. So... I'm a closet Sacramento tragic. They've always been my second favourite team. It's been a hard slog. It's involved some various medications to get me through.
In 20 years.
As much as I like to see them make the playoffs this year, I just can't see it happening for the following reasons.
You don't think this is sustainable?
Hold up, you've gone the other way.
Let me speak. Hush, okay. Cole, hush.
Jesus.
24th ranked D. That hasn't improved. Still the same as it always was. Good on offense, lousy on defense. They're going to have a lot of injury luck. I mean, you take out one of those top, that starting unit, and they're more or less screwed. And I mean, Sabonis has already got the toe. He's fighting.
Yeah, that's right.
How long that lasts is another matter. And they got a small margin for error. I mean, the Suns and Warriors, I'm sure they're going to turn it on at some point. And then you've got the T-Wolves, who if they can actually get some sort of semblance of coherence, they're in as well.
The West is the top eight of the West. The top six of the West is a bloodbath. Trust me, I'm riding that wave with the Pels right now. It's an absolute bloodbath. You lose two, you drop from first to fourth. You win a few, you go up to number one. Like it is brutal in that top half of the West at the moment.
You're right. Like I'll agree with you there, Matty, in terms of the between four and nine, there's literally two games separating between four and nine. So I agree with you in terms of I mean, you know, a few teams turn it on, and then it's, you know, see you later, Kings. For me, I had it down as a topic. So the two reasons I did is we're not talking about them enough in terms of that they are 20-16, and they're playing better than they have ever played, and that's without their rookie Keegan Murray at the moment not really firing to what a lot of people are seeing him, but.
That's a good problem to have, though, right?
Correct. I wanted to talk about like how everybody trashed him, and I think we all did. And everybody trashed him for letting go of Tyrese Haliburton. But look at what this trade's done to them. Like Sabonis fits in that team. I still believe the Haliburton trade is, you know, he's going to be a franchise player for Indiana.
Yeah, what has it done for them though? It's gotten them into a sixth through eighth seed. They're still not a contender.
But they haven't been better than
what they've done in the last how long?
But is that where you want to be at?
They haven't even been a play-in side for like 5+ years. You know, I'm just saying we all praise that Indiana got Haliburton and he's young, but Sabonis has been a real spark for that team. That's all I'm sort of getting at.
You know who else have been really good pickups for Sacramento, and that's Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter.
Mm-hmm. Huerter's definitely NBA Malik Monk. Yeah, a lot of people like Malik Monk.
Yeah,
a lot of people have a Malik Monk bandwagon, which is good. They're a fun team to watch. But
them as a team are shooting, like I think it's close to or if not above 50% from three, which is insane.
That did you watch that Utah? There was only like the last, I think it was yesterday, the day before that Utah game, where they Utah almost won on the buzzer with Laurie's like improbable three. But that whole game, that was that second.
Herder
hit the buzzer beater by a 0.4, but then someone threw it to Laurie, and he shot it and let it go. But the buzzer was zero, just what was in his hand. So he only needed like 0.1 left. But that whole game is what I'm getting at was, like, I could see those two playing in the finals, not the conference finals, but in the finals, because it was just like a semi-final atmosphere. The Sacramento crowd was raucous, which they're
hanging on good basketball. That's the thing.
I want to ask a question here. Are you considering making the playoffs as making the play-in or the playoffs proper?
No, I think they can make the playoffs. I truly do. Not the play-in. I mean, play-in's still an improvement for them, but I think they can make the playoffs.
No, like you said, as in a play-in host or just a 9 or 10?
No, I think – No.
Yeah,
I think
you're saying a 7 or 8 seed.
No, I think they're a 6 seed. I think they're playoffs. I think they're a 6 seed.
Oh, so
I
really you think that they,
locked
yeah,
in,
that
not
they,
even
they can
play-in yep. area. Okay.
No, I think they're not going to – can't see him going above six. I think they're a six. They may be seventh, but I just think six. I think they have, like you mentioned, you know, they have a decent depth. You mentioned Huerter. You mentioned Monk. Darren Fox, like, is he slightly playing all-star, you know, at the moment, all-star level? Maybe not yet, but, like, they just...
I think he's playing great guns now that he's sort of a little bit free of Haliburton. I think he started to... and that's right too. I think he's really starting to come on now. I think this is what a lot of people thought De'Aaron Fox could be. Yeah,
it's helping having Sabonis pass to him as well. He's basically a medium wealthy man's Jokic with
he's such a good passer as well.
Sabonis.
Yeah.
They, no, I just
he got
like,
that
they,
from his pops.
That's my theory. But you're going the other way, Matt. You're saying that they. I just think it's too
fragile a house of cards. Okay. I think if Sabonis goes out for 4 to 6 weeks to rest this, rehab this toe, they're going to
find. Oh, they're screwed.
That's going to be the whole thing. If they can maintain that, yeah, then I'm definitely all for it.
It's a lot of teams in the West.
Yeah. What's your second topic, Miles?
The Golden State Warriors and their absolutely disgusting road record. I think that is more of an unbelievable, you know, sort of stat. And why in the hell can't they lock in on the road?
I'm glad the Warriors are worse because the Bucks aren't far behind.
I mean, yeah. At this current stage, they have right now the worst road record in the league.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. And that's even before the Curry injury.
Mm. Yeah.
That's before this. And yeah, and like you said, yeah, you want stats to back this up? All right, okay. They don't switch on when they're not in San Francisco. I was almost going to say Oakland then. But I think one of the big things is we all know that they're a shooting team, even, you know, obviously. They can't get to the free throw line. They are last in free throw attempts. They are first in opponents' free throw attempts. So do you know what I mean? These are road stats. And they're also first in tech fouls. You know, which is, we all know whose problem that is. Do you know what I mean? Like those road statistics, there's just a lack of aggression, I guess, in trying to make it to the cup. And that's unbelievable. Like it's I don't understand that from any sort of standpoint, how you can only win three games on the road. Like, you know, Curry's been out for what, 2 weeks now, but even so, like that's a class quality outfit there. Jordan Poole's playing, you know, playing out of his skin, especially as of late. Green.
What depth have they got besides Poole?
No, yeah, well, that's all, and that's all the thing. Young like guys you've got Kuminga coming off the bench. They're not using Moses Moody a lot off the bench, which I think they could be in this situation with Curry gone. They could be using him a hell of a lot more. I don't think. Like the Kuminga hasn't really come on as much Wiseman's this year as what they'd hoped. What's that?
I said Wiseman's just a joke, man.
Oh, it's insane. Like, you know, we're not using the B word on him at this point in time, but it's you know, injuries sort of hampered him, but it doesn't look like there's a huge improvement, and it could be team situation. Could he go somewhere else and thrive?
Yeah, I don't think it was a good situation for him to get drafted to because they had too much in front of him, not enough room to make mistakes. But I mean, G League.
He played like eight games in Memphis.
Yeah, you're a bust. At a number
two. The thing was, he probably should have went back to college for another year. He played like eight games at Memphis.
Well, woulda, shoulda, coulda.
I understand that. The Warriors are in a situation where it's just like they dropped him back down to the G League, wanted to get him some reps, and now he's back up with the Curry injury and everything. But you know, Kevon Looney is the linchpin for them up front in his position. So that's going to restrict the amount of time that he's going to play.
They could have also had. Yeah, it mightn't have been a fit, but still would have been good overall. They could have had the Melo Baller too. That's the other thing. They could have had the Melo.
Yeah, but where does he fit in that team?
I get that. But look what's happening at number two. He's just gone for a fit, just to fit a center position. He's done nothing. So, you know, we could have unfortunately, you know, they've obviously thought short term. I think it's a waste of a pick. If you're right, I would have traded.
I thought they thought long term. If they had thought short term, you'd pick the Melo Ball.
Yeah, I would have picked LaMelo long term, like, because you can still pair him with, say, a Steph, possibly. Mm. Possibly. And Steph push out the shooting guard and not having to re-sign.
Yeah, but where does Clay fit into it?
I don't believe he stayed on that team. They would have re-signed him, but I don't believe he should have stayed on that team. That's just my feeling. If they signed someone like LaMelo Ball, but they didn't. So I think this is all still stemming from, I don't think they handled that Draymond Green, Jordan Poole thing properly. They should have really suspended Draymond Green.
Why would that only be impacting Rogue?
Oh, no, just the whole season in general. You're right. I understand that. And they do play better at home. I get that. I'm just saying,
you know why that affects a road record? Because you bond together on the road, because you're on the plane. Like, you know, when you're at home, you're going back to your own place. You're doing your own thing. When you're on the road, everybody is together. And if those two aren't vibing, then I think the rest of the team can sort of see that and just go, oh, well, you know, we'll all just be, yeah, you should be bonding on the road. That's what road trips are for.
Bit of championship lethargy, a long season.
But you think that Draymond would be, you know, a hard person to sort of get along with at the best of times.
Hmm.
So, you know, if you've got that little bit of history and I think anybody's forgetting it, you know, you could be a little bit apprehensive. You look at the young talent that they've got on there, you know, like you said, Wiseman, Moody, Kuminga, Poole. If those guys, yeah, they've seen that, even if this stuff didn't come out in the media, they've seen this stuff in the locker room. Are they going to be a bit apprehensive to go to Green for help? Are they going to go to other veterans on the team like Klay Thompson, like Steph Curry? Do you know what I mean? I think a lot of things that make that Golden State Warriors team tick, you know, isn't the backcourt. It's Draymond Green.
Do you reckon he dick kicks people off the court? Like just walks up to them and just to keep them on a swivel? You got to keep people on your toes, man.
You got to keep people on your toes. He might just shape up to them, you know, like Milo
Curry. You're looking to hook up tonight. I'll give you a quick dick kick and make sure you got no swimmers in there.
I just think even that whole NBA.
No procreation for you.
That NBA on TNT thing was just, that was a ridiculous thing as well. That whole mock documentary or whatever that was supposed to be for him apologizing, which he didn't really apologize.
He didn't apologize at all.
That was pathetic. So my second topic is a team in the West. It's Los Angeles Clippers. I'm not talking about Lakers. It's the Clippers. With a healthy and looks very seemingly healthy Kawhi, can they actually finally do something this year? Because they've got John Wall. Well, okay.
Because you're not going to have a healthy Kawhi Leonard.
Well, if they're top six now, and if they stay in top six and they get to the finals and you have a healthy Kawhi who hasn't been healthy in the last two seasons and his playoff pedigree with two John seasons. Wall. I'm talking about in the
He hasn't
playoff.
Been healthy since he's been in a Clipper uniform.
Well, he hasn't been healthy since he's entered the league. I'm just saying, if they make top six, and with Paul George, with John Wall, Norman Powell, who's a little bit underrated on that side personally.
Big time.
I don't know. I just think, I'm not saying this is their year. All I'm saying is Tyronn Lue's there. Do they have a healthy chance of disrupting this chaotic, as you said, chaotic Western Conference?
Well, to be honest, I don't know how, with their salary cap bill and the amount of depth they have, that they're not better without Kawhi in there. It just seems like a lack of cohesion, probably because he's been out so much and Paul George has been out so much. They're struggling to gel. But, I mean, they're more or less 15 deep and,
that's right.
Not particularly good. I don't see it happening.
I mean, all I'm saying is if they're in the finals, I wouldn't discount them out. That's all I'm saying. To beat these younger sides, like if the Kings are in there, you know, a lot of sides they can measure up against. You know, I could see them bullying.
I'm not denying the talent level, but they could bully ball the Grizz.
They could bully ball, maybe not bully ball the Pelicans. That's a bit of a beast. They could easily shut down the Mavs. Kawhi could essentially shut down, or Paul George could essentially shut down Luka, and then that's it for them. So I'm just saying, I'm not writing them off at all. I wouldn't write them off.
And if they get the right amount of games under Kawhi Leonard's belt, you know, whether it's minutes restrictions, whether it's, you know, like the Warriors are doing with Klay Thompson at the moment, he's not playing back to back, stuff like that. You know, obviously that's one big thing that they're going to have to do is monitor Kawhi Leonard. I think he himself is more in charge of that. I think he would go to medical staff and coaching staff and saying, you know what, I'm playing tomorrow night. And they would just be bowing to that and go, okay, no worries. Like, do you know what I mean? I think there's a very controlling factor when it comes to him not playing. Look, when he's on the court, it's the old Kawhi Leonard. But
it is the old Kawhi Leonard.
He's not the best sort of like getting other guys involved player. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think Paul George is more of a player like that, where I think he could sort of be the secondary option, and I think Paul George would be better off being the player with the ball in his hands the most.
Yeah, you're not going to get much communication out of a T-1000. So,
No, exactly. Yeah, it's just Stonewall face. You know what I mean? He's the thing is, he's not a healthy Terminator. Like, you know, do you know what I mean? He's more of an Arnold out of number
he's
two.
He's a T-800, like, yeah.
Well, this is true. And Zubac has been playing pretty good for that side too, you know. So they have a decent five, is all I'm saying.
I'm just saying for the bill they're footing, it's been an underwhelming
season. Yeah. Oh,
as if Steve Ballmer cares how much he's spending
for the bill they're footing. I agree. The bill, you know, it's, since they signed those two, it's been, well, technically they should have won a championship by now. They were close. So I get, but like Miles said, I don't think Ballmer really cares. He's building this massive frigging stadium anyway. So
that's why they need to change the rules around that. All these body billionaires is just making, they don't give a shit about the luxury tax.
No, some owners do.
Some have to. Some don't need to, is what I'm saying.
No, that's right. You're never going to have pay. You don't have parity when it comes to owners. So it's you know, the Clippers have lucked themselves into that situation with Ballmer and the way that he sort of took over the team a few years ago. And you know, he's the richest owner in the NBA by a long shot. And you know, one of the
statement here, but I reckon enough with all this extra incentives and bird rights and crap like this, hard cap like the NFL. Players get paid less. They're getting paid too much as it is.
There's a lot of financial freedom in the NBA like there isn't in the NFL.
I agree in a hard cap to an extent, but I also like the bird years for the fact that if you're willing to stay with that team for a long time, and you nurture that player, they should count. Like, bird years should count to me.
A hard cap will essentially stop that, because teams won't be able to afford them, put them under the salary cap when those max contracts come up.
A hard cap with a caveat of, like I'm saying, like if you've got a player that's going to stay there past 5 years, five consecutive years, you know,
you charge more on the luxury tax. It's dollar for dollar at the moment. Why not charge $2? You know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not going to change anything if it's someone who's a trillionaire.
That's the thing. It restricts the owners. Even more so, that don't like to spend, and I can attest for that, you know, in the Pels at the moment. Yeah, Gail Benson is not a, she's not
both
out there.
Both your sides.
The Saints are under very, very heavily restricted, contracts and stuff like that, and we don't even need to go into that. But yeah, like there's owners out there in the NBA that don't like to spend.
Yeah. I mean,
but you'd like to think that they'll go out there and spend, but they just don't.
Like, you look at Beal's contract. Who needs $250 million? It's just ego. There's nothing else to it. It's like, the soccer players.
But the problem with it is it's not the owner. Well, I mean, I know you're not blaming the owners, but that's not the owner's fault for having that. You can you know, this is how much the players can make and all that, because they've got another TV rights deal coming up very soon. So they're going to get more than what Beal's getting at the moment. Some players are going to be signing $70, $80 million a year contracts.
They've already got them signing that. Well, yeah. Oh, you mean 50. Per year?
Per year. They're 50, pretty much 50, 60 now. That TV rights.
There's a few players out there that are bordering 50 at the moment.
Well, isn't Lillard's last year 60 million? I'm pretty sure it's 60 million.
I think so. I think the NBA and the way that they do contracts, they do ask about face. They should be front dating those contracts, paying $60 million now.
But you can,
and then at the back end, you know, paying 40 like CP3, like Russell Westbrook. Because who in the blue hell is going to want to take on that contract, fourth and fifth year, when the cap hit is so much? You should be front dating those contracts.
They can, but they can. It's the team that doesn't do it. They can front date.
Exactly, because they're just like, we'll get him now, and eventually he'll get paid that later on. But it's just like, you know what? That might not even be our problem. They like to, it's just like teams throwing away draft picks and pick swaps and stuff like that. Like they're just like, yeah, we'll deal with that down the track. Yeah, just get rid of them. Go. Let's look for the here and now, and let's look for the best value that we can get right now.
What's your final topic there, Matt?
I'm just putting this up for a debate. Brooks, Defensive Player of the Year chances. 2.7 blocks per game, 48.1% at the rim. That's the effective field goal percentage against. Nobody is defending more attempts at the rim than him. But is he a flashy enough name to get it? I think Triple J will.
You got it at the back end right there. I don't think it is a flashy enough name for him to get it. The statistics like that don't lie. And, you know, as much as I love statistics, that's awesome. But, yeah, like you said, is that the flashy name that they want to have on the Defensive Player of the Year trophy? That's the only thing I see that could hold him back, and that sucks.
No, it's the other way. I think if you look at Sportsbet currently, because I was looking at all these, to be honest. The only thing that's holding him back is the other player that's on his side, because the other player, Giannis. is the third best odds for Defensive Player of the Year. That's going to cancel those two out, unfortunately.
Really? He is. His numbers are nowhere near Brooks.
But this is the flashy name. Yeah. I mean, you're right. JJJ is the favorite at the moment at 237. When I was putting a future bet on, I couldn't pick Defensive Player of the Year. It was too hard to sort of work out, because I like Lopez's stats. I just don't know if he can win it. Do you really need a flashy name? Like, no one seems to like Gobert.
Yeah, I know.
Do you really need a what? Sorry?
A flashy name? No one like Gobert, but he's got it so many times. He's not even close to getting it.
Yeah, this is true.
So I think he has a chance. I it's too hard to pick right now. That's the only one. If you look at them all, and so does the MVP, that's too hard to pick Defensive Player of the Year.
Do you think he'll get All-Star?
What I'm saying is, Miles?
I mean, for the East. See, the thing is, how is the All-Star? I haven't done an All-Star vote yet. Is it three forwards and two guards, or are they separating?
Same as always.
So it's two center. Three.
Yeah. But you got Joel. Well,
I think that makes it even harder for him to get in, because Joel Embiid.
Well, you got the coach one. He
gets in off the bench.
You get the coach one. That's the only way he's getting in, is the coach.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
possible.
Right.
Possible. I mean, yeah. Well, there's a few possible. I think the All Star, just like the West and the East, of how close all the teams are. I think the All Star. Yeah, you're gonna have All Star names. We all know that. Yeah. But there's gonna be some snubs, and there's gonna be some surprise coaches picks. There has to be, because of how some players are playing. So,
true.
What's your last one, Miles?
The last one for me is, we've already talked about him before, but I think we should talk about him a little bit more and his squad, and that's Luka Doncic. The narrative from a few weeks ago was that Luka needs help. And this might be, you know, contrary to what everybody thinks. I don't think he does. I think he's got a pretty freaking handy squad with what he's got right now. He just don't use them.
Who's his reliable second option?
No, what? You don't know, because he's always there and he's always got the ball in his hand. You don't know.
He's not playing 48 minutes a game.
No, I understand that, but he is playing 48 seconds in a 24-second offense. Okay. You know what he looks like to me? A hell of a lot taller, shaved, white James Harden. And look how far he got the Houston Rockets with the usage that he goes through. By the time they get to the back end of the playoffs, he's going to be knackered, and they're going to have nothing. And they're not going to be able to implement anything else offensively, because they don't play that way. He dribbles the air out of the ball. They have had so many games of Dallas on TV at the moment this year because of him. I don't like the way they play.
Nah, it's pretty boring.
But didn't you say, didn't you say that you think he doesn't need anybody else to go?
No. Play differently. Jason Kidd. This is on Jason Kidd. Get the ball out of his hands more.
I disagree, Miles. I think letting Brunson go was a big blunder.
No, they need a secondary
creator.
That is. They've got, look, Kemba, they've picked up Kemba Walker. You don't know what he's going to do. Spencer Dinwiddie can fit into that team like Jalen Brunson. Use him more. You've got Christian Wood that's in there.
He's been playing good.
Use him more.
Christian Wood's been playing pretty good for the amount of ball he's had.
No, exactly. He doesn't get to touch the ball. Anybody on that squad now has just got to be a catch and shoot player. Use Luka differently. He's going to be a shell of himself. I know he's younger. He's going to be a shell of himself when it comes to the playoffs. The run that he's putting together now, he needs to be a part of the the rest plan there. Like they put together a hell of a run at the moment, as of late. Before that, their record, they were like 4 or 5 games under 500, and it's like they need to address that, and they don't need to put the ball more into Luka's hands. That's not going to be conducive to good playoff basketball. And I think them making the conference finals last year was a bit of luck more than anything else. And not luck, but this Luka just skyrocketing out of control. How much can he keep playing this and have this much usage and then be any good at the back end of the season?
That's what I was saying earlier. Without him, they're nothing. They're too reliant on him. That's why he has to have such a
high
usage.
That's why they need to start addressing that now.
Yeah, but there's nothing internal they can.
Get more people involved on that roster.
The last player that has had, maybe not this high of a usage rate, but the last player that has done this, to my knowledge, that has done this, but still needed help, was Kobe Bryant. He had the high usage, not this high, but he had high usage. He just needed that number two in Pau Gasol. He had Shaq, obviously, but Pau Gasol. And still have the same use. Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's the difference. I think what you said is perfect. I think Kobe, while he had the usage, it wasn't as usage as this high. He was smartly knew how to use other players.
And Luka, so, Luka does. I think Luka likes this. He likes to being the focal point. He likes dribbling the air out of the ball for 18, 19, 20 seconds of the shot clock and then trying to get it, to either get to the cup or take a step back three, or then try and get other people involved. The ball doesn't move when he's got it. The only way the ball moves is up and down in his hand, and that's it.
Nobody's ever accused Jason Kidd of being a good coach. Trust me, I had 3 years.
That's what I mean, and that could be a holding back point for the Mavericks as well. Like it's right. You're a testament to this, but
I'm surprised. I'm honestly surprised someone like Dirk hasn't got into his ear and just said, Dirk was a perfect example for that side of Well, they didn't really have much around, really much around Dirk to win that title. They did that enough, but I know what Luka can do, but if it just says to
we
Luka,
all know what he can do.
Luka, you have four other players. You can win a title by using those four other players. They could. They could win it all if they have a genuine number two. And there really isn't a number two at the moment, really.
And they're screwed cap and draft wise as well. So draft pick wise as well. So
I just think that they've got the solid players. You don't need to mean whether it's a genuine number two. I still think that they've got solid enough players around him to be able to utilize them a lot more. Do we even remember that they've got Davis Bertāns on that side? They've got Davis Bertāns on that side. Good catch and shoot. Tim Hardaway Jr. Good catch and shoot.
All they care about with Davis Bertāns is that $20 million a year, by the sounds of it. You're right.
No,
I agree.
You know what I mean? Good catch and shoot. Like, you can utilize those guys a lot earlier in the shot clock than 22 seconds into the shot clock.
Yeah. What did you say? Sorry, Matt.
I was just asking about Timmy Hardaway Jr. Is he back? Is he starting again now, did I see?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, so there's another one. I agree. The Brunson.
Look, a streak shooter, but when he's on, he can make you pay, and then that makes your team a whole lot more dangerous than having to just focus on Luka Doncic. When you come up against the good teams in the NBA, when you get to the pointy end of the season, and not to say that you're going to shut Luka down, but if it's not the points, if you can limit his ability to be able to dribble, penetrate, and then kick out, the Mavericks aren't going anywhere. And he's going to have, if he keeps playing the way that he does, he is going to be gassed out by the end of the season. They need to address that now. They need to get guys that are on that roster to be able to trust in them. I think it's a talented enough roster. Like, there's not a genuine number two there. You're right. But I think there's enough talent on that roster to be able to rely on other people other than Luka Doncic.
That's just me,
and I might be wrong. And you know, come playoff time, it could be different. But they're playing almost the kind of playoff basketball now where it goes through one person. That's not going to fly for 82 games in a year.
Then
try and be effective and efficient in the playoffs.
Well, like I said with the Clippers, you get some. If Kawhi locks down Doncic, that's it for that team. That's completely it. So,
that's why they need to address things like that now.
Yeah. My last topic is, and you just get a multiple choice of two, basically. Which team needs, to me, one of these two teams need to blow it up, or at least sort of go trade heavy. And it's in the East, the Chicago Bulls and the Toronto Raptors. Which team do you think, the way their records are and the way they're going, need to blow it up now? And I'm not saying that they have to go. It could be either way. It could be, tanking, or do they, blow it up in terms of trying to make the squad better?
If I had to pick one of those, it'd easily be Chicago. They're stagnant, not working. With that trio, DeMar's only getting older. Vucevic isn't a good fit with those two. They need a defensive oriented center with two offense only players.
That's the trade. Okay. That's the first trade piece right there. Is Vucevic?
Vucevic, yeah. I mean, really, you can't. LaVine's not. They're not going to be able to move LaVine. That's 215 mil. And with those lingering knee issues, I think them to an extent.
They've also got lingering knee issues with Lonzo Ball as well. Man, I'm glad we got rid of him.
Vucevic is a trade piece, and Caruso is a nice little $9 million trade piece for someone. They could get a first back for that or something like that. Like, he's just that nice. No, we're right.
They don't have the depth in their roster at the moment, Chicago.
Yeah,
that's right. They're both of these teams are pretty much sort of the same record, although Chicago's probably a bit worse. I was listening.
Nah, pretty sure I just had a look. They're both 16-21, so 16 five games 20. Under 500, okay. which is not good. It's not even a play-in team at the moment.
I reckon, I has
Aston, so, what if you...
Vucevic for Miles Turner, that'd be a good trade.
Everybody loves the Lakers are obsessed with Miles Turner.
We're not obsessed.
He's a good bloody player. He's a good defender.
Yeah, no, exactly. But is you want to say he's a little bit more defensive orientated than Vucevic? Absolutely.
A little bit. A lot.
Yeah. No, that's right. So I mean, I don't know. He's a good rebounder as well too, I guess. But yeah, the Pacers like him as well. Like there's been a lot of teams that are out there, including New Orleans, that have been trying to sort of pry away Miles Turner away from Indiana, and they're not willing to pull the trigger. They obviously don't like the deals that are coming across the table.
I picked out of those two, I picked Toronto, and the reason is one, because they've got the record that they have right now, and two, they have very healthy, they need to work out what they're going to do long term, because they have very, like someone like OG. Well, OG and Obi.
That's the two pars. They either need to roll with the OG, Van Vliet guys, or roll with the younger Scotty Barnes, those sort of guys.
OG and Obi, right, could be like every team, every single team wants him. That, to my knowledge, every team wants him. I honestly believe if they pull the trigger on him, he could honestly get close to a Donovan Mitchell Cavs trade. I'm serious.
I don't know why you want to give him up, but. He's too good to play.
But this is where. But where are they going?
Get rid of Van Vliet and play Scotty Barnes at point where he did in college.
But does that help? Like, do they need to get rid of Siakam? I'm not. I mean, I love Siakam. I love. Well,
you'd get a king's ransom for Pascal Siakam.
You'd get a king's. That's what I mean. I think people don't underestimate how you probably get a king's ransom for OG. Honestly,
You won't get as much as what you would for Siakam, but you
could possibly get
You could get multiple first round picks for OG.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's what I'm saying. They're 16-21 with the current team that they have now, and you know that's not a bad idea, Matt. But then you need someone to take Van Vliet, which I think Lakers could definitely. I don't think even if they make the play-in, I don't know if they're going to make noise. And then where they go from there, like with the same team. I just think, why not? I'm thinking the other way. They might not get Wemby. I'm not saying that, but all I'm saying is they could build for the future by moving someone like an Obi. Pascal, maybe.
They would have to win. If they're looking at Wembanyama, they're going to have to embrace the tank very quickly.
Yeah. But, I mean, people say they don't have a standout star. Siakam is going to more than likely be consecutive All-NBA. That's a star in my book.
Yeah.
It's because they're Toronto and they're in Canada. They were only talked about that so much that when they won the championship because Kawhi went there. Really, before that they weren't really talked about that much. I mean, I could go back to the days of friggin' Vince Carter, and that's when they were talked about.
Tracy
Marie. They just exactly. They just don't get talked about, unfortunately, enough. That's just my feeling. And they've got a good squad. I like Scotty Barnes. I like Pascal. I really do like OG. I think on any team, he could easily just make any team a legitimate contender.
I reckon you supersize the lineup. What they've been trying to do, so that means getting rid of Van Vliet and Trent.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think Gary Trent has got value.
Oh yeah, I know. I agree with that. I just don't know if Scotty's got handles to move to this point.
Oh, he did. I don't know how it holds up in pro level, but I mean, he definitely did in college.
Okay, who do you think, Miles, out of those two?
No, I think Chicago. I think Chicago as well. It depends on A, cap situation, and B, if they've got future draft picks. If you can, either sort of offload. I think Vucevic is the clear choice there. But if they're going to open up the phone lines and start taking calls, I think a lot of people will be a lot of teams that are in win now mode would be interested in Zach LaVine.
And DeRozan.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, well, he's probably the best mid range player in the game at the moment. Like.
Levine
has got more recent injury history, but I think he's more of an explosive scorer. than what DeRozan is. And I think he gets you know, more of the accolades for that team than what DeRozan does, even though, you know, he's been the linchpin there the last couple of seasons, the way that he's played there. But he's Zach LaVine, if we want to go flashy names that are out there that people are going to want. Bradley Beal is still being talked about like that. He could be a poor man's Bradley Beal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's everyone's fair. A poor man's Bradley Beal.
right. But do you know what I mean? But that's what teams are going to want to look at. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's far from he's a homeless man's Bradley Beal.
To be honest, but I honestly can't blame the Wizards for signing Beal to that contract. Could you really?
Of course not.
Because they've been going nowhere for 15 years, and they've been going nowhere with Bradley Beal there for the last decade.
No, but they want him as an attractant right. for other players. No, that's it, but it hasn't worked.
I'm just saying, at the time,
for what Miles said, the attraction side of it, I agree, it's one of the worst contracts out there, but I don't think they had a choice. Like, who wants to come to Washington by the sounds of it? No one.
Well,
that's the problem.
Flatten out and get a high impact draft pick instead of drafting 9, 10, 11 every year. It's like the Bucks between 1999 and before they drafted Giannis, just years of fighting for the 8th seed. It's pointless.
No, that's right. You're in limbo when you're in that top, if you're at the bottom end of the lottery. You're just in limbo, and you've got to strike gold.
To get a Giannis, but what are the odds of that?
Exactly.
15.
No, that's right. You've got to strike gold.
Oh yeah.
You need to have as many bullets in the gun as possible.
Do you have a bonus one there to finish off? I believe.
So the bonus question here is, who should be an All Star this year but is going to miss out?
Is going to miss out.
Well, I'll say Brook after your convo.
Yep. See, I haven't seen any of the voting numbers as of yet for like who's getting the votes just yet.
I don't think it's come out yet.
It hasn't?
I could say I don't think the votes have come out yet, have they?
No, I'm not. I thought that there's ballots out there. I don't think the numbers have come out yet.
Just off the top of your heads, who do you think?
Well, I can tell you who won't make it this year that made it last year, and that's going to be Wiggins. I don't care what happens. He's not going to make it.
No way.
he probably hasn't played enough games anyway, has he?
Oh, I don't think that matters. As long as you're healthy around the All-Star game, you'll play. But, yeah, he ain't got no J-pop, South Korean music star to boost up his vote. So, true.
Oh, they still could.
Jordan Poole's got a better case than Andrew Wiggins.
I'm tired of this. Jordan Poole is better than Wiggins. It's a load of shit.
No, but I'm just saying he's playing at the moment.
Wiggins is a much more well-rounded player than Jordan Poole is.
Nobody disrespected my Michigan Wolverines. All right, just keep that slander to yourself.
You little go and swim in your pool.
I'm just trying to think more. Have you got one, Miles? I think I've got one.
De'Aaron Fox.
They should be and can't make it.
As soon as Curry comes back, there's just not going to be enough guard positions for De'Aaron Fox to make the All-Star team.
So
the one I've got in my head that's guard-wise that should make it, that probably won't because of guards in the East. Well, possibly just guards in general. It's probably Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson should make it and probably won't. I believe that they had the record that where they are because of him. What's changed except for him?
I'd say there's a group of about five or six guards in the East who are all sort of interchangeable, right on that borderline. I'd put Drew Holiday in there as well.
Of course you will.
Man, I'd love to see Drew Holiday get another All-Star spot.
Yeah, I can't believe he's not had one.
Yeah, when he was at Philly. Yeah. It was even before he was in New Orleans.
He's averaging 26 and 1.2 steals per game. He's, you know, he they've turned it around for him. I just don't think he's not going to get the crowd votes.
You reckon Tyrese is a shoo-in?
I think so. Yes. He has to be, doesn't he? I think he has to be. But there you go. That's what I'm saying. But there's one that there's a guard for the East already. This is why I think Jalen should. I just imagine if I knew it's been, what has it been since 1989, since the last Knicks point guard made the All Star team?
Yeah, it's because they were.
That'd be Mark Jackson.
That is exactly Mark Jackson. So. No, but that's what I'm saying. Just having a Nick in there, just having a
and
Nick.
And he would have only been in the league for. Was he a rookie? Was that his rookie year?
89, nah, I doubt it.
No, it was his third year.
Third year, right.
But just having a Nick in there in general, just having a Nick, you know, it's...
Julius Randle yeah, will get some votes.
2 years ago?
No, I know, but I'm just saying, but not for... It hasn't been there for a while, has he? It's been a while. Was that 3 or 4 years ago, maybe?
Had
that breakout.
Randle, when he got all the
2 years ago. Yeah,
Randle. Okay. His first breakout season was that one that he had in New Orleans.
With the Knicks, we're talking.
He's carried on that, you know, that form from then.
But he didn't get All-Star his first year with the Knicks, did he? It was the second when he got All-NBA.
Yeah, I think might have been. It was the year he got most improved, so that would, I think that was his second year.
Yeah, I think he's a name, Jalen, that probably should
agree.
Most likely won't. Yeah, there's a few on the bubble, obviously. Well, can you name any more? I'm just trying to think, is there more out there that probably...
Pascal Siakam?
Yeah. Laurie Markkanen? He should make it, and I think he should by the coaches. He's not going to get the fan vote, but he should be there this year.
Do you reckon DeJounte will get in?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think he'll make it. Trey will be there.
Yeah, well, that's a fan vote. That's what I mean. Fan votes.
No, that's right.
Fan votes. Like, there's certain fan votes that are just going to happen. Like, you know, it's just the way it is.
It's a popularity contest.
LaMelo played enough?
He'll get votes.
But he won't get think coach he'll. Or media.
I don't think he'll make it. I mean, if
he stays healthy for the next, I don't know, month, 6 weeks, why not?
Maybe.
It's all about being healthy then. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, Steph Curry's out now.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, Steph Curry's out now. But if he comes back and he's only had, you know, 2 weeks of games under his belt and he's, you know, he's a top vote getter in the West, he's playing. Unless he says no.
There's certain, like, Jeremy Grant, I'd throw that his name in there. They're 19-17, not just because of Dame Lillard. Jeremy Grant's been playing well this year.
Yeah,
you know, there's certain names like you said.
Dude, Nurkic has been killing it for the Trailblazers.
Simons,
Anthony Simons he's blown up.
I know this is supposed to be a Nets free thing, but does Kyrie have a chance to make it this year?
No.
Why not? No, seriously, why not?
Because he's Kyrie.
They're not too. Will he? That's the thing. Will he?
He won't get the votes from the Jewish community, but everyone else there, I think he will.
Oh, the Jewish community.
The neo-Nazis will vote twice.
They seem to be getting everybody else in American politics, so that's the one.
like realistically, like who from the Heat should make it? They're seven. Jimmy will probably get fan votes.
Yeah. He'll get fan votes. Bam.
Does Tyler Hero throw that name in there?
Possibly. I don't think so, though.
He's been a decent six man this year, considering. He's
hit a couple of buzzer beaters. He's hit a couple of buzzer beaters this season.
No way a six man should be considered all-star. You're playing against Ben.
Yeah, but he's not a six. That's the thing. He's not a six man.
Oh, he's not a six man. He comes in for about 2 minutes, then plays with the bench mob the rest of the time.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I'm just looking. I mean, I just think Laurie should be there just on the basis of what we all thought Jazz is going to be. And you know, they're 10th at the moment, but he's been playing. You know, his stats are phenomenal. Really.
They've been.
SGA.
I like what Portland's doing.
I think SGA will make it just on the basis.
He's got to be.
just on the basis that, of fans, you know.
You want to hope that, and he, I think that's a big one that'll hold De'Aaron Fox out is Gilgeous Alexander.
DeRozan, you reckon?
He could be on the ballot as a guard and a forward.
Yeah, true. Good flex.
He was starter last year. Just to show you where they are now.
Yeah, because he's had a better season last year than what he has this year.
I think Jaylen Brown should make it. He wasn't there last year. You know, and just throwing that.
He'll be there this year.
I'm trying to think. Is there anyone that like big that will get snubbed? That's what I was just trying to think.
I'm just trying to mentally go through the teams
and just sort of like big names that like really will most likely get like. The Pels are going well.
Kristaps, having a good season. He's going under the radar because of where he is.
He's having a good season. I don't think he'll get the votes.
I don't think so. Zion will make it with a bullet. That's easy. But is there a second player on that team?
CJ, maybe.
Ingram. McCollum, but there's too much depth. There's too much depth in the West backcourt. That's another one in the mold of De'Aaron Fox where I don't think he'll get the votes. There's too many he's a main part of how well the Pels are going this year is McCollum. So
I mean fan votes thing is going to suck because people like Steph, we know that, but people like Curry and Draymond will get huge fan votes. Draymond and Klay Thompson will get fan votes, and that'll suck.
Yeah.
But that'll suck. But that's just the way this is really, unfortunately, set up. So
look, Klay Thompson's in that 50-point club that we talked about. No, he's just put his name in there just recently.
Do you reckon Memphis gets a second? Maybe Triple J.
Well, he probably should be there. Triple J. He has been playing extremely well this year. He'll get in. It'll be coach. I'm trying to think. So what's that? West, move forward. He's listed as a center, isn't he?
Yeah.
Nah, who? Jaron Jackson Jr.
Oh, no, he's probably
forward. Center power forward, isn't he?
He's a straight up forward. Yeah, he's a straight up forward. I guess we'll make it a wrap on there. So we'll put a nice little post Christmas bow on the pod. That's not too bad at all. So I guess. Yeah, unless we want to do a quick check-in on how everybody's team's going, we know what the Lakers are doing. Are they going to be?
I'm about to fill up this bottle, so yeah.
More coffee.
Yes.
I'll go real quick. Lakers, I still think can make play-in if AD is healthy. We don't need to elaborate. I think the Bucks should be top two. And I honestly think your team is as in the Pels, is easy top three.
Don't jinx it.
There's mine.
They're going all the way.
No, they're not.
Don't jinx it. We just lost Zion for 3 weeks. So
it doesn't matter. I like your depth. I really like your team at the moment. And you've freaking got our number one, so it's even worse. that's me.
And I'll always be forever grateful and say thank you. Thank you. Like you said, you got the chip out of it and we smashed you for the next 5 years. So, you know, is what it is.
Okay, you should wrap it up and thank all the people listening. Go ahead. About enough.
All right, we're on, if you want to check us out, we're on social media, so you can check us out on Twitter at Final Play Pod. We're also on, you can check our pods out on Spotify. You can check our pods out on SoundCloud. Just search the Final Play Podcast. Also, you can search the Final Play Podcast on Facebook. Always like to thank our brothers and sisters over there at Gimco. So if you want to get into any card collecting or anything like that, check out gimco.com.au, gimko.com.au. And they're also Eureka Sports Cards on Facebook. Check those guys out. I am desperate to get one of their breaks up and running, and that's the WWE Impeccable break. Last time I checked, I'm still the only person that has bought a spot in there, and there's still 9 more spots to go. So everybody get on it. Impeccable is like one of my favorite products that sort of Panini brought out, and to make it have WWE is awesome. So check that out. That's in the group breaks section of the Gymco website. So yeah, check that out. That's probably about the only good product that I've seen out of this crop of Panini WWE stuff. But that's what happens when they've flooded the market again in another sport / sports entertainment. So, check those guys out. We're always grateful for the support that they give us. Got myself a 4-week too late Bailey Zappi nice insert on the latest NFL. Group break, which was awesome, but yeah, no, I missed out on the Bailey Zappi hype train, but it's pretty nice looking card. So thanks to Dom and Mojo King, those guys, Dan Reigns, Chris Alcides, those guys like that are always support us, so we support them. So check those guys out, and check that. Yeah, definitely in the new year they'll have NRL and AFL coming up. There's always NBA that you can check out with those guys as well. So yeah, always grateful for the support they give us. So yeah, check those guys out. And hopefully we have a very prosperous 2023. That's it from us, guess. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks all.
Thank you all. We'll get the NFL playoffs coming up shortly, so we'll be trying to get something to do with that. We've got week 18 next week, so I'll definitely be getting into some NFL playoff talk. So Matt's going to fill his bottle up with bodily fluids, so
coffee goes in, coffee goes out. All right, well, that's how I'm finishing. My name's Jason, coffee in, coffee out Smith.
I'm Miles. I probably need to fill up a bottle as well. Matt's here. Yeah, you can see
piss,
Matt's
piss legs. Break, Shero. Yep, thank you.
Piss break, Shero.
All right, thanks everyone. All thanks right. For tuning in.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.